Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Film Junk Podcast for Sunday, January 3rd, 2010. This is episode number 250, our very special clip show. And my name is Sean.
My name is Jay.
My name is Greg.
And we've been talking about this for a little while, and we just kind of thought, let's go back in the archives, because I think we forget about a lot of the stuff that's happened on this show over the years, and it's kind of fun to go back. I mean, I want to do it as much for myself as for you, the listeners, and I think it's going to be fun. We've got a lot of clips that were recommended, and we're just going to go back kind of like a sitcom and go through some of our favorite moments. I guess I should mention that there will be another episode released this week, a day later, most likely, which will be our year-end Best of 2009 episode. So keep an eye out for that. But as far as episode 250, it's kind of an interesting milestone. I mean, when you think about it, it basically means we've been doing the show for 5 years minus about 10 episodes, right? If you're thinking 52 weeks in a year. So that's quite a bit of podcasting. I don't know if you guys ever think about how long we've been doing the show for. I doubt we'll do it for another 5 years, but maybe.
You just made everybody very upset.
I'm just being realistic here. But I don't know. Are you guys, when you look back, are you proud of you know, what we've done on the show, or are you just kind of like, yeah, it's something to do every Sunday night? Or,
well, I'm a little ashamed.
It's your dirty little secret.
That's right. You know, I just it's just once a week getting together with some friends to talk about movies. I enjoy doing that.
I mean, it's an excuse to see something every week, which, you know, it's not always. Sometimes we're forcing ourselves a little bit to see a movie maybe we wouldn't otherwise see, but a lot of the times, you know, I'm glad that we're pushing ourselves to see these, and it's always fun talking about them afterwards. Jay, any thoughts on how the podcast has shaped your life in the past 5 years?
It's given me something to do every week. Am I proud? You know, that pride is a dangerous thing. am I proud to have been born? Yeah. I mean, that is the accomplishment when you think about it.
Existing.
Think of how many chances there are for life to spawn and you know, compared to how often it does. That is something to be proud of.
Yeah, well, that's true. But I mean, getting away from life and getting back to podcasting, we are one of the longest running movie related podcasts out there. Certainly there's been a few, and
who's our competition for that spot?
Well,
who are we looking at?
I believe Film Spotting has been going longer than us, and they're certainly probably the biggest film related podcast out there. But
I've never listened to them.
No? It's a good show. I believe it's also on Chicago Public Radio, if I'm not mistaken. So, I mean, it's definitely a little bit more professional than us. And, I mean, I think a lot of the podcasts out there, well, not a lot of them, but there are some that are more professional than us, and then there's some that are a lot less professional than us. I think we come in somewhere in the middle, which is kind of how I like it. But
then we wouldn't be able to swear if we were supposed to be professional and... Jay, you like to swear.
And I you couldn't make a joke about Sean saying just now that he likes coming somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, that's true. We can't do that.
You wouldn't hear that on Film Spotting, I don't think. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, I guess one thing maybe we should acknowledge is we actually did kind of get our start from the good folks over at the Movie Blog, which... I guess the site is kind of changing now and undergoing new ownership, and our good friend Doug Nagy, who used to be a part of that podcast, has long since parted ways with it. But because Jay, you and I used to do a radio show on Brock University Radio, which was partially we talked about movies, but it wasn't just that. But then we kind of gave that up for a couple of years, and then the movie blog guys invited me on one of their early episodes, and it kind of just made me think, let's just do what we did on Brock Radio, but just do it on the internet, and then there's no rules, there's no one monitoring it, just do what we want, and that's kind of what this ended up being.
Do you remember on Brock Radio when there was a new program manager or station manager, and she thought I was doing cocaine during the show?
I do remember that, yeah.
Why?
Because apparently I was sniffing a lot.
And she actually came out and said this to you?
Who did she say it to? She didn't say it to me. I think she said it to our friend Kevin or someone else who was...
Yeah, or maybe our friend Anne, yeah. Who was...
Yeah, I think it was... Might have been her.
And did you laugh?
Probably, yeah. And it was pretty ridiculous.
Did she make you stop doing the show?
Or? No, she never mentioned it.
Oh.
Directly to me.
Well, I thought...
Which is, well, I mean, because you probably were snorting coke, right?
Yeah, but the I would do that before the show. The sniffing on the show was just from air being stale or a cold or whatever.
I see.
Congestion.
Yeah.
Well, this kind of brings something up, which I should have maybe thought about ahead of time, but I actually have a couple of clips from the CFBU show. Maybe we should play one of them right about here.
Kenneth P. O'Donnell, who I guess is the political advisor, was the political advisor to Kennedy.
Yes.
As played by Kevin Costner, playing the best he could as a Bostonian. if anyone saw Costner in Robin Hood, they'd probably notice that he's not the best with accents. In Robin Hood, he did a bad English accent, which he lost halfway through the movie. In this one, he does a bad Boston accent, which almost seems more like a caricature. As you said, he kind of sounds like Forrest Gump at times.
Yeah.
He'll be like, right now we're going to go carry out the planes into the war and shoot our missiles. He sounds like Chief, Mayor Quimby or whatever.
Mayor Quimby is from Inspector Gadget.
Chief Quimby is.
Chief
Mayor, what's his name from Simpsons?
Mayor,
the mayor from the Simpsons.
Right.
What's his name?
Mayor Quimby.
No.
Yeah, Quimby. Chief. Mayor Quimby.
It is Mayor Quimby. That's what I said.
A little too much for you. Anyway, so that
I wasn't a part of that, so I wasn't listening.
Yeah, you weren't a part of it, but you did come on board. Fairly early on in the podcast years, I guess.
What year were you guys doing the Brock Radio thing?
Well, let's see. It would have been like
99, 2000,
around then, yeah.
So when I was on professional radio
as the gas man,
you guys were doing your thing on the university radio.
That's right.
Nice.
So, anyway, I guess what we were talking about before, about this show not being all that professional and being a little more personal, I think the reason why we can even do a clip show is because it is personal. And I thought we'd start off with a collection of clips from some of the supposed greatest hits of Film Junk, which these are some of the stories that have been told on the show over the years, many of which people have... you know, pointed to again and again as their favorite moments. And of course, they're not really all that movie related, but so be it. So let's start off with some of these stories. Some may be outrageous, some may be embarrassing, but hopefully they're all entertaining. So take a listen to some of these stories from Film Junk.
I guess you could say maybe it started at during last week's podcast. If anyone remembers,
that's where everything starts.
I did leave the room for a bathroom break. Usually it's because I'm drinking an extra large tea and I, you know, I have to urinate. This time I had diarrhea and I don't normally go at other people's places. So it was kind of unusual.
At least they used the bathroom instead of the closet this time.
Yeah.
That was
so
silly error.
That was the starting point of a journey that lasted the entire week, in which I had convinced myself that I have colon cancer. And
but like I don't understand, like, diarrhea means colon cancer, or,
well, there's
like,
a little
want,
more.
I don't know if I want more.
There's a little
details,
more to the story.
Because then, like, once every 4 months, I have colon cancer.
Okay, well, I'll just say a couple things.
Oh, God.
You try and see this from my point of view.
Oh, son
okay?
of a bitch.
Change in bowel habits. Okay. Wednesday, I went number two 5 times. 5 times.
Maybe you ate something. Maybe
and,
it was the food.
Okay, then I'm like, this is unusual.
Maybe it was the poutine. It was but probably the poutine, I'm
what,
just going to say.
It wasn't the 5 times that really had me wondering. It was the fact that the stool sample was triangular.
What?
It had angles. Like, sharp angles.
Well, first of all, how did, like, did you turn and look? Why?
Yeah, the 5th time, I'm like, okay, well, I got to look what's happening here. And, okay, so that happens. I go on the internet, right?
You look up triangular stool sample.
No. I look up.
Did you Google
first,
that?
First, I'm like, angular stool. And what comes up is like IKEA and like round stool, bar stool. You wouldn't believe. You wouldn't believe how hard it is to Google stool sample. And so I finally come across some sites that list colon cancer symptoms, and I'm looking, right, and I'm like, okay, I it lists, this is what it's got. Change in bowel habits.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Yes.
Change in the shape of stool. Pencil thin stool is one. Black stool,
oh,
meaning that there's blood being mixed into the stool in the upper colon.
Okay.
Or light red blood in the bowl. And a feeling of cramping and a feeling of not having emptied out. So Friday, I'm like, okay, I have the change in bowel habits. I have the unusually shaped stool. I have the feeling of not having emptied out.
Yeah, the IKEA.
I just like to, and then I just like to point out that first time listeners are really going to be getting to know you.
Okay, and
well.
Then I go jogging. Right, I started jogging, and I got home, and I think I threw my back out while jogging, and then I am convincing myself that it's not a muscle strain or a muscle pull, that it's actually cramping that I'm confusing for a muscle pull.
Right.
And I couldn't sleep because I was, when I would lay flat, it would hurt. And when I'd breathe in, it would hurt in my side. And then Friday night, there is one symptom left. And Friday night, as you guys were out enjoying a concert, you were, I don't know what you were doing.
I was watching television at
home. Okay. Well, I was at home in the bathroom looking at toilet paper with blood on it.
Oh, that's good night.
At
good
which
night
point, I completely freaked out and was convinced I have colon cancer. And anyone who knows me knows I hate doctors. The only time I've gone to the doctors is when I was bit by a stray cat that I let into the house.
Okay, we're going to have that story on another show.
To have my ears plungered, like, out. And when I got shingles. And I'm seeing it says colon cancer is really only a threat to people above 50, usually. And then I'm thinking, well, shingles happens to old women. So I got that. What's the chance that I'm going to get colon cancer?
You got shingles.
So I go to the walk-in clinic. Saturday afternoon, it's empty because in St. Catharines, it's Grape and Wine Festival. Everyone was downtown enjoying themselves. I was at the walk-in clinic, went into the room. I'm waiting. I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to put this to the guy because I've never gone to the doctors for anything like this. As I'm waiting, two nurses come in and they rummage through one of the drawers because there's a woman in the room next to me. And they say very loudly, okay, that's not the one we need. This is the one that's for chlamydia. And then they bring it out of the room into the next room. So the woman next to me was getting checked for chlamydia. Finally, the doctor comes in. A very, an older man, just very dignified.
Was he handsome?
He was a handsome, dignified man. And I was sad to say, you know what? I think I have colon cancer. I've been reading the internet. I went jogging. My back hurts. And he said, oh, so you think maybe you have back cancer as well?
Shut up. Did he really do that?
See, this is the thing. Like, how many doctors have people coming in now saying, I looked this up on the internet.
Well, I said to him, I know this is going to sound crazy, but I was looking on the internet. And as soon as I said that, he smiled. And then he's like, all right, well, we'll check you out for cancer. And I was like, I was hoping he would just prescribe me some sort of medication at first to get my bowels moving. But he took out this folded piece of paper and said, put this on and I'll be back. Take your pants off, put this on, I'll be back. I take it out. I was expecting it to have a hole for your head and you pull it over you. It's just a sheet of paper. I'm like, how does this work? Do I wrap it around myself like a towel? What do I do? So I'm in this room by myself. I take my pants off, everything off except my shirt. I sit up on his little doctor bed, and I put the thing over my legs. And he comes in, and he starts asking me what I do for a living. I say, you know, video game, cinematography, blah, blah, blah. Starts asking me about video games. Pressing my stomach for cancer, I guess. And then he asks me to roll onto my side. And then he says, okay, you got to bring your knees up to your chest. And I was expecting putting the finger in and that's it. He went down there and spread and looked. Wow. And inserted, moved around. And said, good news, you don't have anal cancer or colon cancer.
And thanks for making my day.
Right.
Did he at least buy you dinner first?
He did not.
Son of
a bitch. Didn't even prescribe me any killer drugs.
So you just said, put your pants back on and...
He said, good news, nothing. Oh, great. And he basically left the room. And I put my pants on and let myself out. Like, thanks. Thanks for saying bye.
Wow. He really, is he going to call you later? Or?
I don't know. Clarify one point, apparently the blood was just from, you know, rawness of, you know, going and obsessively
wiping.
Being obsessed, yeah.
Are you sure he put his finger in there?
I'm pretty sure.
Sure,
oh, that was the one
sure
thing.
Was his finger?
He turns, and I get the sound because he gets the lube or whatever. And you know the sound when you've got a bottle of ketchup or syrup that's almost empty, and you push it, and it does like that. That was the sound. I'm on my side, and all I hear is. Oh, fuck.
So this
that was a good weekend.
The funny thing I find is that, you know, Jay tells us this yesterday, what happened, and starts it off by saying, I'm going to have a good story for the podcast. So,
well,
I don't know if there's something wrong when, you know, the first thing you think is, wow, this is going to be good for the podcast.
Is it life imitating art or art imitating life? I don't know, but... All I know is blogging and podcasting is about getting to know each other.
Yep.
And looking at things on a personal level. So whenever I give a movie review now, it's going to mean that much more.
So the other thing I watched, finally got around to seeing Mel Gibson's Apocalypto, which is kind of a nice double bill with Outlander, which we're going to be talking about. I remember
why is that a nice double bill?
Just kind of similar epic stories.
Did I watch the wrong movie?
Maybe, I don't know.
Well, just give me a quick synopsis of the movie you watched. What was it about? Just to make sure, so...
It was about Vikings fighting a monster.
Okay, no, you're lying.
I'm lying?
Yeah, you're making that up.
No, that's the real deal.
Did you watch a Sean Connery movie?
No.
Outland, that's a great movie.
Yeah.
Did I honestly watch the wrong movie?
Yeah, for real. It's about Vikings.
How about that? The movie I watched, it was about a Polish kid who goes to the UK to find his older brother. Really? Called Outlander?
Fuck, that sucks.
I still think you're fucking putting me on here. No, I totally don't believe it.
No fibbing. No fibbing.
Well, how about that?
Wow, I'm going to have to look that up. That's pretty funny. We'll get your review of Outlander soon.
Yeah. You know, because I was watching, I was like, why the fuck do they want to watch this so bad?
Okay.
Outlander, right? Yeah. How could there be more than one fucking movie called Outlander that's been recent? I don't get it.
Was yours called Outlanders with an S?
I don't know. Who directed it?
Dominic Leese.
Yep, that's the one I watched. Outlander is from 2007, because that's what I typed into Mininova to get the torrent, and...
Well, you got it.
Anything else before we get into this, or... No?
Well, you were talking about something about your dog earlier.
Oh, right. So... I came home for lunch today, and... you guys have seen the movie Turner and Hooch, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, I basically felt like I was in the movie Turner and Hooch because the dog is like 9 weeks old, still very much puppy, hard to control, very rambunctious. When I'm at work, we keep him in the foyer out there. We close the door to the kitchen so he can't get in, can't piss on the carpet, can't chew on any of the furniture. You know how it is, right? So came home for lunch today and I walked in and the dog was not in the foyer and I was thinking, well, where the heck did he go? Like, I thought he jumped over the board and ran upstairs, but then I thought, I don't know, that's pretty high. I don't think he could jump that high yet. And then all of a sudden he came walking up and he was looking at me from the other side of this door here, which was still closed through the glass. He was looking at me and I looked down and there's shit on the floor. So I open up the door and I'm trying to figure out how the hell he got through because it's still closed. It makes no sense to me. There's piss on the rug. And then I look over and he's chewing on something. He's chewing on my Carnival season 1 DVD.
Ouch.
So it's like, I didn't know. And you know, you're not supposed to scold them afterwards because they won't remember doing it. Although, you know, I did, you know, kick him outside, but, you know, that's not really much punishment, I guess. So I'm still trying to figure out how he got in here. I think he may have just been able to claw the door enough to squeeze through, but...
Well, was the door open?
No.
So he squeezed through and then closed the door behind him?
There was chips of a little bit of, like, white paint because he had been, like, scratching at the door. But I think... Maybe it came out enough that he could push it back. Like, you know how it's like a sliding door, and if it comes out too far, it's kind of like out of the track right. that it's on. I don't know. I think that's how he did it, but I'm going to have to set up a camera and figure that one out.
You got to set up a webcam and have a direct live feed to your blog.
Yeah, that's a good idea, actually.
Right, you just eat the dog.
Dog blog.
Basically, what it comes down to is I feel exactly what Tom Hanks felt in Turner and Hooch. So
underpaid and underrated.
Violated.
But hopefully I will become a huge Hollywood star afterwards.
I can tell a story.
Oh, God.
Like 5 years ago, I took two road tests to get my full G license. And I failed them both.
Oh, wow.
And the reasoning behind the failures were, one, I sped on the Niagara Street entrance on the highway. I was getting on that entrance, and I did I guess more than, like, leading up to it, you're supposed to do 80, I think, and I did 100 to get up to speed. And so they failed me the second time, did the whole test, and then got to the final set of lights to turn left and then go into the parking, into the driving place. And it had a flashing advanced green, and I pulled up, person in front of me went, I checked all my blind spots, turned, and as I turned, it stopped flashing green, and she failed me. She was like, everything was perfect right up until that last turn there. And the worst part was my license was expiring. So by her failing me, I had to redo my written test and then redo another G2 road test. So I had to do two extra tests because of that failure.
And the tests cost money too.
Yes. So now it's 2008, October. In 2009, my license expires. So I have to get my G before then. So I booked another road test. Took it last week. Was like, I just want to get this fucking shit done because I fucking hate the driving administration of Ontario or whatever they're called.
Ministry of Transportation.
Right. The driving administration of Ontario sounds better.
Yeah.
But so I did my test. A lot of shit that, you know, you don't even think about that you forget.
Well, like, yeah, you're kind of at a disadvantage now because you've been driving for so long without having to do everything perfectly.
Stuff like stopping at a stop sign and not having your wheels straight, like getting docked for having your wheels on an angle when you stop at a stop sign. Bullshit. He asked me to do an emergency stop.
Right.
I don't remember what an emergency stop is. I just pulled over to the side.
I think that's what it is, isn't it?
Yeah, but you have to put their parking brake up and put your hazards on.
Oh, yeah, right.
See, you would have lost the marks
too,
right?
I knew that, but...
You would have cracked under the pressure, though.
True. That's
and then awesome. I did my parallel park perfectly, like tight, awesome.
Okay.
And then he's like, all right, now pull away. And I go to pull away, and it was so tight that I had to give myself a little room by backing up so I could pull away. I backed up and...
On the curb?
Yeah. Which was fine, whatever. That wasn't the failure. The failure was the construction site that this entrance ramp that's shut down. There's a construction site there now. Because of that stupid fucking entrance ramp, the speed limit is 80, and I did 95, thinking I was on, like, the highway. You're supposed to do 100, right? But that stretch where that fucking ramp is being redone,
so
you have to do 80.
Basically, you're saying 5 years later, exact same thing.
That ramp.
And you failed again.
So the guy stopped the car, and I didn't even realize. Like, I thought I was doing 100 on the highway, and I'm fine. Who doesn't do 100? Who does 80 ever? No one.
Well, I do 80 through the damn city streets, man.
Yes. And I'll tell you, coming off the highway, the off-ramp, you're supposed to do 50.
It's pretty
smart. I had someone behind me, and actually slowing to 50 is ridiculous. Like, it felt like I was doing 10, and the person behind me is riding my ass the whole way. So we get back to the place, and he's like, well, you failed, so... You did a 95 and an 80. That was a construction zone. And I was pissed. I accused him of having to meet a quota of failures.
Ouch.
In order to get paid. And he was like, also, you know, when
did
you
really do that?
Oh, yeah.
You would.
I did. I told him I was pissed off. You know, I said, I realize you're just doing your job, but this whole system is bullshit. And I was like, you're telling me that 6 years of driving is, you know, I've driven constantly on the highway. I haven't gotten one ticket, haven't gotten into one accident, nothing, no accidents. You're telling me that 6 years of clean driving is not as good as a 15-minute test in which I didn't have my tires straight on the fucking stop sign, and I did an 80 on a highway. And he was like, nope, means nothing. Only thing that's important is from when I get in this car and when I get out. And I'm like, that's bullshit. Then I accused him of the quota thing.
And what did he say?
He's like, no, we don't have to meet any quotas. Not at all. And I was like, well, I know lots of people who have taken tests and said that they fucked up on the test. And the guy was like, nah, I'll let it slide. Like, it's a time of day thing. Depends on who you get. Depends on if you have a fucking cock or a vagina. My grandma had to go get her license renewed, and she got it! She's 82! How does she get her license renewed, and I don't? She's fucking 82!
Well, she probably didn't do 85 getting on.
She probably did 75, exactly. Which is even worse.
75 and an 80?
You know what? Right? Anyone who does 75 and an 80 is more of a hazard than anyone who does 95.
You're absolutely
because
right.
This is the problem with the rules of the road. They're there to be broken by people. And when you're the only one following the rules of the road, you're putting everyone else and yourself in danger.
That's true. You're
when you're getting off
right.
an off ramp, you're getting off the highway on an off ramp, and you're doing 50 because the sign says to do 50, and some fucking guy comes behind you coming off the highway doing 140 and has to stop to 50 so he doesn't hit you. That's dangerous.
You're absolutely right.
So what do? When you're on a driving test and you're coming up to the on-ramp of the highway and everyone on the highway is doing 140 and this guy's like, okay, merge onto the highway, what do? You fail. Yep. It's fate. If the stars don't align on your road test, you're fucked.
After I got my second tattoo done,
yes.
I went back to the...
Second tattoo?
Yes.
What's that?
It's on my back.
What is it?
It's a... Is
it a secret?
Well, no. It's just... It's a...
WWE logo?
No. It's a rose with my father's initials underneath it.
You should have got a WWE logo.
Well, you know, I thought, well, I could get like, Vince McMahon's face, or I could, honor my deceased father.
You could have got your father's face.
Yeah, that's kind of weird, though, you know? Over, like, John Cena's body, like, wrestling. That would have been all right, I suppose. So I went back to the place called Artistic Impressions, and they do very good work there. And I needed to get more ointment to help it heal. And they have, like, this special concoction of various oils that they sell. So I wanted to get a little more. So I walk in, and this was late December, and so it was pretty cold. You know, I was wearing my trench coat, but it was still daylight. It was sunny out, so I was wearing sunglasses, and I come out of the tattoo place, right?
Were you hiding a sawed-off shotgun under your trench coat?
No. No, I was not. So as I walk out, this woman, probably in her mid-40s, is walking on the sidewalk, and she is just completely off her rocker, just talking to herself, arms waved in the air, like she's mad at the world and completely crazy. And so I kind of walk behind her, but off to the side, because I'm a little frightened of this woman. And I go around the corner into the parking lot, and I get in my car. Like 10 seconds later, the passenger side door opens, and this crazy woman gets in my car and closes the door and looks at me. And so I said, hey, and she said, could I have a ride? I thought about it for a couple of seconds. I could say no and risk getting stabbed with a knife or a needle or something, because clearly she's like lost it, right? So I say, well, where are you going? And she said, 176 Russell, 176 Russell, 176 Russell. That quickly. And so I'm processing that information in my head, and I realize it's only two blocks away.
And if you know St. Catharines and you know Russell, then you understand where this woman is coming from.
Yes. So I pull out onto the street, and I kind of look over at her and I say, are you okay? and like there's a 3-second pause, and then the waterworks start, and she starts fucking bawling, like just tears, and like mumbling like incoherent gibberish and babbling, just like sobbing, like a complete mess. And at this point, I'm kind of shoved over as far as I could go to the left, right up against the door, because I'm a little frightened at the particular moment. So she's just crying and crying and crying for the entire drive. And so I turn on to Russell, and I'm, you know, I'm looking up and down at the numbers, and I find 176, and it's just this beat up fucking shithole of a house, like broken window and shutters that are just smashed to pieces. There's a couch on the porch. It's like right out of a fucking horror movie. And I'm surprised there wasn't like a dead animal on the front lawn, but it was probably buried. So I stop in front of the house, and I said, well, here you are. And she stops crying in an instant and looks up and looks outside and looks back at me and says, thank you, and gets up, opens the door, and fucking leaves. Friday night at Empire Theaters, they had a special screening of Twilight at midnight. Right. And then, you know, you buy the ticket to the movie, and then you get the DVD on your way out as well. And just a packed house, like, of crazy screaming Twilight fans. I do the wrestling ones all the time, and they cheer and stuff, but I've never seen anything like this. It was messed up, you know. And there was a woman there that she didn't quite understand how movie theaters work, but she bought tickets to the 4 movies in that exact same theater throughout the day, because she wanted to have a special seat for herself. She wanted to make sure she got the, so she bought a ticket for a 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 7 o'clock, and 9 o'clock screening. And which was really weird in the first place. But so she got there at like 10 in the morning and had been there all fucking day. Like, that's 14 hours waiting for this movie to start. And, you know, and when she, Watchmen was the last one that played before Twilight started. So when she left the theater, they wouldn't let her go back in at first because they didn't quite realize, you know, how completely off her rocker she was. And they said, well, no, there's a lineup. You have to go in the lineup. And she kind of explained that she had been there for 14 hours and bought 4 tickets to 4 movies. So, and then they said, okay, well, you can, they decided to let her in first. And
so why did she leave her seat, though, if she paid for 4 movies?
Well,
so
I think you have to leave when they clean for various safety reasons or whenever, like that, you know, like that's just part of the policy, you know. It's, and excuse me. So they had posters to give away, like full size movie posters, one of Twilight, and then the other 3 had one of the main characters from the movie, and they also had a copy of the DVD to give away as well.
Were they giving away any Men in Black hats?
They were not. Everything that they gave away was actually associated with Twilight. And so like, the place was like crazy packed. So I walked out and everybody started cheering, like not even realizing who the F that I was, but they just started cheering, and women were whistling, and one woman yelled, take it off. And, you know, and I was wearing jeans and a Motley Crue t-shirt. So I don't quite realize what they wanted me to do, but so,
well, that's because they knew Film Junk, though, right?
Not at that point, they hadn't. But when, so, I mean, that crowd, probably not a lot of Film Junk fans, you know. But, you know, I pumped the website and our show and all that, and was giving away prizes. So, like, the first poster was of Edward, and we unraveled it, and, like, all the women were like, ah! Like fucking screaming, like it was the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show, you know. And like just jumping up and down out of their seats and just making a racket. And so, you know, I made a joke. I said, I don't know if you ladies know this, but the character of Edward was, you know, based on me. And they were like, ah, and screaming and all that.
Were there actually any guys in the crowd or what?
There were a few boyfriends that probably would prefer to have been somewhere else. And, so I had the Edward poster and I picked one woman and I said, you know, have you seen the movie? And she said, nope. And I said, have you read the book? She goes, I just finished reading the fourth one. So I'm really excited. And she was in her 40s. And, I said, all right, I'll give you this Edward poster if you can sing the Twilight theme song. And, you know, and she kind of looked at me a little dumbfounded and I was like, well, you don't know the Twilight theme song? And she said, no. And I was, you know, I was like, I'm just messing with you. So I gave her the poster. And then the next one was of a character named James. He's some big, muscular, blonde dude. I have no idea. And I, you know, we unraveled the poster. And again, all the women went fucking apeshit screaming and jumping up and down out of their seats. And I said, well, I don't know if you know this, but the character of James was based on me, you know, and I got
never gets old.
No, so I got kind of a half laugh there and a few laughs here and there. And
that was a kind of like a callback, right? Is that right. What they call that?
So then, callback? You know, I rolled the poster and then, you know, one girl was like, over here. So I went over to where she was sitting and she was wearing a Twilight t-shirt and a Twilight fucking hoodie. And then she had a Twilight ring on. And I was like, you know, how many times you read the book? And she said, I read all the books 6 times. And I said, how many times have you seen the movie? She goes, I saw it in the theater 3 times. And I said, are you a fan of James? And she's like, oh, God, yes. So I gave her the poster of that. And then the next one we unraveled was of Bella. And again, all the women, like, screamed. And then the one gay guy in the crowd was, yeah.
Well, wait a minute. Isn't Bella a girl?
Yeah. Maybe he just identified with her. I don't know.
Well, how do you know he was gay? Maybe that wouldn't that be...
Because he said he was gay.
Oh.
So I just assumed he wasn't lying.
Okay.
So, and so we unraveled the poster and we went crazy. And I said, you know, I don't know if you know this, but
I smell a callback.
The character of Bella was, and then everyone actually really laughed at that. So I was like, at that point I knew that I had them. So I gave the Bella poster to the gay guy. And then we unraveled the last poster and it was one of the Twilight movie poster, which everybody went
even more nuts.
Friggin' nuts for. Yeah, so I just gave it to somebody. And then I had the movie, the DVD, to give away. And I hadn't heard cheers like that in a very, very, very long time.
And well, that's like a $25...
I know.
Cheer right there. I mean,
I know. So
you get it for free.
I went over to the left side of the theater and, you know, gave the Hulk Hogan ear thing and put my hand in my ear and they started screaming really loud. And then I went to the middle and did the same thing and then went to the right and did the same thing, did it all over again. And then I stood at the front and I lowered my hands down and everybody got quiet. And then I threw my hands up there and everybody went like crazy screaming again. And then I did that a couple of times and it was insane. And then this one girl was like standing like on her seat and just jumping, getting like 2 feet of air just because she wanted that DVD so bad. And one woman offered me something for the DVD, which, you know, I couldn't very well accept while, you know, there were young people in the crowd.
Yes.
But, so I gave her that DVD and, you know, and I said, you know, like, you know, are you guys excited for Twilight? Everybody went fucking nuts again and the lights went out and they went crazy again and it was insane. And then it's pretty crazy.
If there were ever a place to publicly light yourself on fire, that would be the place.
You know,
in a good way or a bad way?
In a...
Like in celebration?
No, in a, you know, I have a need to kill myself and I don't want to do it solo. I want to do it somewhere that
it will
taint the minds of forever taint the minds of young impressionable people.
I mean,
that's where you do it.
The movie and the books are, and the calendars and the clothing and the bookmarks and the jewelry and everything, like the Twilight toilet paper, like, and whatever they have, Twilight coffins, I'm sure. But it's just this crazy phenomenon that this woman is making a fortune on. And, you know, she says that the whole idea came to her in a dream and whatever. And You know, and you know, I
bet while she was dreaming, she had like Interview with the Vampire on.
No, probably
on the TV.
You know, and I totally understand women and why they like the idea of vampires and vampire love, like the whole eternal love thing, and you know, the romance and the mystique and the mystery and the, you know, the forever type feel of it. You know, and you know, there's that, and then you know, there's just the thought of a.
Read fucking Dracula.
Yeah, you know, and I think there's some women just like the thought of a dirty vampire. Just,
I think some women just like the thought of giant marketing companies telling them what the fuck to read and buy and watch.
Yeah, some women do like that too. Some men like that too.
No,
lots of people like that. You don't think so?
Mm-mm.
There's something to be said for a shared experience, I think. Kind of like going to Burning Man.
Yeah, but
well, it was like the Obama inauguration.
All right, so another thing that I kind of like about Film Junk, you know, being that it is a group of friends getting together every week to talk about movies, we also invite other friends of ours to come on the show and talk. We've had a number of guests on the show over the years, none of which are really, you know, professional film critics, but they're all friends of ours, and it kind of adds to the atmosphere. So I'm thinking of, you know, people like Singe, who we had on the show a couple of weeks ago, had some great cop stories. We've had our good friend Doug Nagy on a few times, and you know, he's always an entertaining chap. And even going way back to even before Greg was on the show, we had our friend Chin, who is sort of a regular co-host, reluctant co-host, you might call him. So I thought maybe, well, anything stand out in your mind in terms of some of these people we've had on the show?
Well, you're forgetting Reed Farrington.
Well, that's a very good point.
Goon and Dirty Frank. And
yeah, so, I mean, all these people have enriched the show. And, you know, Reed continues to be controversial. Every time he's on, you get emails of people saying he should be on every week, and you get emails of people saying I'm going to skip every episode he's on from now on.
There's no middle with Reed. You either like the shows he's on or you don't even listen to the shows that he's on.
Right.
It's very strange.
But that's what happens when people get used to I mean, you had mentioned us going on the movie blog in the early days, and that was the reaction that they had when we went on. Everyone hated it.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, like you said, people get used to a certain chemistry, a certain, you know, group of people, and I think to completely change that sucks, but it's fun to add another personality in the mix every now and then.
I don't think I've ever heard, I've heard negative comments about all of our guests, except for Singe. I don't think anybody's ever said
it's because he's a cop.
That's true. People are afraid that he will track them down.
Yeah, nobody wants to bad talk Singe.
I mean, the guy witnessed a man poop on his own driveway, and that's mm-hmm. not cool.
Kind of speaks for itself.
Yeah, respect.
So anyway, this next collection of clips are some of our favorite moments from guest hosts over the years on Film Junk.
Devastator, I was more than thrilled to hear that he was in the film, and he looked like a bag of fucking shit.
See, that's the one thing that I thought was very strange. Why didn't they just have all of the construction vehicles green like he is in the cartoon?
Yeah.
You know, because it would be more recognizable.
Because it would make more fucking sense. And this movie yeah. had no fucking sense. Nothing made sense. I don't give a fuck if this is spoiler city. This movie's fucking shit. Everybody should avoid it. When fucking they pick up the goddamn Matrix just to have it fucking crumble, so fucking goddamn Sam Witwicky can go to fucking Autobot Heaven and talk to douchebag robots. And then he comes back and, oh, wait a minute, the Matrix is fucking whole again. And then he jams it in Optimus Prime's chest and then it fucking pops out and somebody's, what the fuck just happened with that Matrix bullshit? It's the same thing like that midget gag. If they're throwing shit in, it doesn't make any sense.
Why is it so difficult to just use what's there?
That's already awesome.
And build on it, yeah.
Yeah, it really annoys me when people always fall back on the whole, well, you can't just take the design from the cartoon and do that, because that's ridiculous.
That's
It'll
bullshit.
Look too boxy. Or
fuck that shit. These are the boxy motherfuckers that we loved. We love these fuckers. We want to see them. If they had these boxy cunts on screen, we'd recognize every single fucking one of them.
Totally.
And we would love it.
Yeah.
That's what we want to see. Like, as soon as Optimus Prime had fucking lips, that is it. That is it. That was the nail in the coffin. When, as soon as that guy had fucking lips, that was it. That's the direction. You want? We have these robots. They're 50 feet tall, but you want what they fucking need? They need lips.
Okay, I've told this a couple times to some other people.
We want something that's exclusive.
Your opinion of whether it's funny or not. That's because some people don't think it's funny. I think it's hilarious.
And you're a police officer just to get everybody up to date?
Somewhere in the GTA.
Got it.
Yeah.
And so anyway, so it was early morning, like maybe like 2, 3 in the morning or so. And then with another guy, another officer, and we pull over this young university age guy.
Wait, this isn't going to turn out like that movie Bad Lieutenant, is it?
I'm going to make you guys witnesses to something here. So it's just a really obnoxious university guy, right? And he'd been drinking. So he's in the back of our car. And we're talking with him for a while. Like a couple hours, maybe an hour and a half or so, just because of all the, like, we're giving him just tons of tickets and everything. So we bring him out, and I'm explaining these tickets to him. And he was driving a Volkswagen. And I guess he thinks that there's a T in Volkswagen. So he's reading, he's like, no, there's a T in Volkswagen. I want another ticket. And that's not the funny part.
But it's so fucking funny, man.
So I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm like, no, there's not. And he's like, Google it. So I'm like, okay, what? I'm like, no, there isn't. So here's your ticket, and it's this much money. And like, so it ended up racking up, like, probably about $600 worth of tickets. And he's like, I don't care. I'm an actuary. And I'm like, I don't care. I don't even know what that is.
I don't know what that is either.
Well, I guess they do some, it's something with insurance adjusting. Right. Yeah. Or, I don't, they did like something with insurance rates. I guess they make a fair bit of money. It's like, I'm an actuary. I don't care. Whatever. What's next? And I'm like, I don't even know what that is. He's like, well, Google it. So a chain of events happens, and myself and the other officer end up wrestling with this guy and taking him to the ground. So once I get him on the ground, I put the handcuffs
on him.
Wait a minute.
He was already in your car. What's going on?
No,
this chain of events.
This is out when we're outside of the car, but I took him outside of the car and was explaining the tickets to him.
Right, okay.
So something happens. We end up with him on the ground. I put handcuffs on him, and I say to him, Google that, bitch. It was one of those things where you're like, where you think of afterwards, like, fuck, I should have said that. But I actually did say it. So it was awesome.
And then you're like, an hour later, fuck, I shouldn't have said that.
I love it. I've told so many people that story. I love that story.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Robert Pattinson. Mm-hmm. He was being mauled before the movies even came out, and he was a nobody. That was designed like the Backstreet Boys or, you know, whatever boy band you want to. I mean, it's completely constructed by a studio,
but
people fall for it.
That guy, I feel so bad for that guy on one level, because apparently he's been saying that, like, fans are coming up to him, they cut themselves in front of him, and they want him to, like, suck, like, literally, like, suck on their wounds. And he's like, I'm going to get AIDS.
I'm going to get AIDS. Is he British?
I assume he is, because he was in Harry Potter 4 or 5.
I'm going to get AIDS.
They don't let you in that movie unless you're British and have AIDS.
I didn't hate Star Trek until the very end.
That's even worse.
After I'd
seen... When someone can watch a movie and just have one piece of it not fit properly and then just completely write off the entire thing.
The piece being the end? No, I meant I decided at the end. So I didn't, like, think I was looking, I hate this piece. I wasn't building up to hating the film. It was a realization at the end that I hated the film.
Okay, first, you hate the film.
No, I enjoyed it.
I'm out. I'm done.
Greg, are you up next or you want me to go?
No, please go.
Well, okay. I enjoyed the film, but as a Star Trek film. But from a...
This isn't speech writing class. You're not doing a presentation.
But as a film experience, I thought it was weak. Like, it felt like...
Explain.
It felt like I was watching a well-made fan film.
In what way?
Okay, so reasons why Reed Farrington hated Star Trek.
Didn't hate, just didn't like that much.
Oh, yeah, right. The bad ear makeup on the Vulcans. Did you guys notice on the kids? You could actually see the seams.
No.
Didn't notice.
Didn't notice?
Wasn't staring at the little kids.
Never happened in the Star Trek.
You're going to start picking apart special effects in Star Trek and like makeup and stuff?
Why were you staring so intently at the children anyway?
I bet he spent the whole movie analyzing the ears, looking for seams.
Well, you know, like the first 10 minutes of the film, I was like looking all over the frame, looking for bloopers and stuff. And I realized I wasn't going to enjoy the film if I was scrutinizing the film that intently.
I was looking for bloopers. What are you, Dick Clark?
Did you guys...
You're looking for a boom mic in the corner?
Like, yeah. No, but did you guys...
Every movie he watches, he's like, I'm keeping my eye out for a boom mic.
So what happened was out by Shenandoah National Park in Virginia, a soldier dressed up and wearing Joker face paint got into a shootout with some cops, was shot dead. Discuss.
Well, I don't really know why the face paint would be on there, but I think the guy was trying to commit suicide.
Well, I'm guessing he may have been a little crazy. I don't know. Just a guess. Apparently, he was also a suspect in the stabbing of a fellow soldier.
They also say that he didn't actually fire. He just pointed a gun.
It's not as cool as that black guy that went out to the streets with a samurai sword and thought he was the Highlander.
Who was that? Wasn't that Martin Lawrence? Didn't he do that?
I don't know.
I hope not.
No, he did something.
That
didn't
was Black
he?
Knight. He ran out with a gun into the highway, and he was like naked or something.
Really?
Yeah, I remember something like that.
I don't know.
Man.
There was also that guy who robbed the store with a...
Black Knight was a little different.
There's that also that guy who robbed that store with the Klingon Batleth or whatever. That was pretty funny, too.
Yeah.
Any robberies with odd weaponry is always a good story.
Why is Black Knight so funny? I think it's the... What's going on?
I think they're losing it over there.
Yeah. Oh. I don't think I've ever seen Jay laugh like that before. Somebody told me that Johnny Depp is part Cherokee.
Really?
Which I wasn't sure if I should believe or not, but maybe that's why nobody's making a big stink about it.
His last name is Depp. Is that treats?
Those are cupcakes.
Oh, God.
Is that from class?
Did you decorated cupcakes today?
Yeah.
In your cake decorating class.
This is what's good about you taking cake decorating classes.
There are many things that are good about you, Alicia.
Thanks.
Baked goods are pretty high on my list right now.
Is this like grass?
I don't even want to eat them. They look so good. So what was the question again? What are we talking about?
Well, you're talking about how
Johnny Depp
is part Cherokee.
Yeah, well, that's what I was told. And then I thought, well, maybe that's the reason why nobody's making a big stink about it. Because, I mean, if the movie was about, I don't know, if there was another movie about Malcolm X and they cast Tim Allen, you know, Spike Lee would lose his goddamn mind. So I'm wondering, you know, why are there no, you know.
There's chocolate in the middle.
Well, okay, let's see here. Johnny Depp.
Oh, my God, I'm so pumped about this cupcake.
It says here Johnny Depp has German, Gypsy, Cherokee, and Irish ancestry.
Cherokee.
So there you go.
There is chocolate in the middle of this.
But, you know, it seems like they've...
This cupcake is like a Johnny Depp cupcake. It's white on the outside, but it's got chocolate in the middle.
Interesting thing, though, that I found about all this, there's a bunch of these inventors working on these flying cars, which... probably not that surprising. I mean, there's always people working on crazy inventions, but NASA is actually working on something called the Highway in the Sky, which is kind of a computer network system that basically will make it possible for people to fly these flying cars without, you know, it'll coordinate all the traffic so that you won't have accidents and things like that.
I think from what I remember, it's supposed to be just all one way. Like, there won't be two-way traffic. Everything's just going to go one way. that way eliminates the whole head-on collision crap. So one way, meaning like that's the whole theory of it.
Well,
I think.
Which way does it go then? Like if you're traveling from Canada, you can only go to the U.S., but you can't come back after that.
Sure, why not?
Maybe the roundabout system. The English roundabout system would solve that.
If those things go as fast as I think they are, then that wouldn't be a problem, right?
Well, I think it's just fucking bullshit. Well, they invent teleporters. It's just a waste of time.
Well, I'm with you on that. Like, I've seen all the test data and stuff. Like, all the test lights.
You've been keeping up on this.
Yeah, I was. I mean, I wanted it to come out. I ride one of those, but another thing is, like, how are you going to get all those people, like, up there? I mean, people are scared of heights, people are, like, scared of flying.
Yeah, right? But that's the whole thing about the NASA system, though, is that they are already planning to make it a very safe method of travel.
I mean, I myself, I don't think I'm all that comfortable with going 120 kilometers an hour, but I seem to do it quite often going down the QEW here in Canada. I don't think it would be any different in the sky.
Yeah, but with all these preset things, like you have to go this certain way, and what happens if something's in your way? What does it do? Like, I mean,
well, what's going to be in your way?
Well, like fucking
Pegasus.
Well, I'm sure they probably account for Pegasus.
But it's Titanic, Peter, so right? They didn't expect that fucking big thing to be in the fucking way.
Right. Well, I think we're talking about slightly more advanced technology than the Titanic here. But I see your point.
Like, I don't trust the computer all the way.
A lookout tower. But there's an iceberg!
It's just like
they just gotta have large lookout points every couple of miles.
Well, it's just like if I was standing here and you wanted me to walk over there, and but like you put shit all the way, so I have to walk through the shit. Like I wouldn't want to do that, right?
Well. Unless you can come up with a way to do floating shit, then...
Like, why would I want to get my fucking feet dirty and smelly? Just because the computer told me to.
I guess I hadn't thought about that, but... I'm assuming that NASA can probably... I mean, they have the brightest minds. They can probably come up with a way to avoid shit.
Take it away.
So, I guess it was a couple weeks ago for this. I got free tickets to see Kevin Costner at the casino in Niagara Falls and his band, Modern West. So I didn't know what to expect, and after the whole Billy Bob Thornton thing, I didn't know what angle the cost man was going to play there.
So you got free tickets?
Yes.
That means that other people paid for
this. A lot. The minimum, the lowest price ticket for the balcony was $65. It's unbelievable. Anyway, so we walk in, and it's like a mausoleum. It's a Thursday, right? So it's probably all old people that were gambling at the casino. And that's all. Like, I was probably the youngest person there by far. So,
and you're 64.
Yeah. Just turned 29. Happy birthday to me. Nice. And so we're sitting there. We're ready. We didn't know what to expect. So first, the lights go dark. It's pitch black. And then you hear, "If you build it, he will come."
Yes! Yes!
And then it cues this huge screen comes down and starts playing a montage of all his movies. And the first thing that comes down is, I don't know if anyone saw The Upside of Anger at all. No, okay. It's this clip where he like busts in on Joan Allen in the washroom. And he's like, "I have something about being patient. I'm the most patient motherfucker you'll ever see." And I'm like, all the old people, I'm like, Costner's going balls deep here tonight. This is going to be amazing. And then it just got, from there it went to like just the tackiest stuff. Like all, well, actually it was a cool part after that. It showed like just a montage of him shooting people like right in the head. It was from all his Westerns. It was just bam, 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 bam. It was wicked. And then after that, it got to like to the sappier stuff. And then he comes out the back, finally, after, like, a bunch of, like, him kissing girls. It goes up, and he comes out the back, and there's a spotlight on him, and he's like waving, and it's like a red carpet type thing where he's coming down and shaking everyone's hand and kissing. It was weird. And so he comes up, and you know, they do their thing, like it's,
you're a big fan of the band, right?
No.
Does he sing?
Yes, he sings. Not very well either, like pretty poorly. But
and he plays guitar.
He does, but not much. Like just a couple things here and there. But whatever. I'm not gonna judge his music too much. Just like the vibe he puts out there. But there's like a lot of like older ladies. Some might call them cougars that were dancing in the front of the stage, like loving it. Like, this one girl was by herself, and she was just so in. She knew the words to every song. Costner just keeps looking down. He's like, "Oh god." He's like, "Thanks, thanks." And then it just gets one of those like it's getting old. You know what I mean? Like sit down. But the he did it. Oh, so he always would tell stories between the songs. He's like, every song, this one's about some girl, and you're standing outside, and you're, so the best lyric of the night by far is, "I won't come inside unless you want me to." And he said it,
Costner.
Yeah, and he said it's about like waiting outside some girl's apartment, and we know what it's the Costner, man. Bangs everything. And then so that was, it was like, it was pretty bad. And my mom went the next night. He played two nights, and it sounds like the crowd was a little more into it that night, so I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. I don't know if I'd go see Modern West again, and I certainly wouldn't pay $65, but at the end of it, I was ready for someone to ease my pain. Get it? Field of Dreams? No?
Nice.
Yeah.
I really got to go to the bathroom.
Is that the end of the show, then?
So, no, if you want to just hold on a second.
Okay. You're cutting the audio, aren't you?
No, I'll just let her.
So I can just talk?
Yep.
And you'll edit this out later, right? There's going to be a lot of blank space here because I got nothing to say. You could have paused it, couldn't you have?
Did you talk?
No.
You just sat here.
Yeah. I had nothing to say.
So, it was probably about, I guess, 11 o'clock at night. And there's a guy going around breaking into cars.
Okay.
So, he'd break into cars and put whatever he steals into a backpack. And so, then people ended up calling the cops and police showed up. And I wasn't dealing with this initial incident. So police show up and he's gone, but he ran and ended up throwing his backpack on someone's front porch.
Okay.
Can we say what the code is for this sort of activity? Or is that top secret?
No, there really isn't one.
It's not a 4-1 either.
Breaking into cars, like putting stuff in your backpack.
A 96G, like on the lawman there. Means there's a gun.
Yeah, we're going to have to get your thoughts on Steven Seagal lawman later on.
So he throws his backpack on someone's front porch. And then one of my sergeant goes and picks his backpack up and just puts it in his cruiser. And he drives around with it for the night until he can take it in and get rid of this thing. So then at about 4 a.m. now, so a few hours later, I get called to go to that house that he threw this backpack on the front porch of, because the homeowner called us because some guy came looking for his backpack.
Okay, yeah.
So I show up and the guy's gone again, but the homeowner's there and he's dressed in a house coat, because it's like 4 a.m., right? So he gets woken up by this. So he's out, and he's a bit, like, he looks like a half-normal guy. He's about 50 years old, and then, so he's all worried that this guy went into his shed in his backyard. So he wants to go check it out. So him and I walk into the backyard,
and the guy didn't end up going in his shed. So we're walking back up the driveway, and he says, he looks at me and he says, "Man, I really gotta take a shit." And I said, "All right, well, I'm done with you, so you can go do whatever you gotta do." He's like, "No, right now." And he squats on his driveway and he shits all over his driveway, like 3 feet from me, like just this messy shit everywhere.
Is there a code for that?
And then, no. And then he says, "Oh, sorry," like he fucking sneezed or something.
Well, it was an anal sneeze, really, is what it was.
Like, he just walks in the house like there's nothing to it.
Wow.
So he didn't wipe?
No, there's nothing.
Fuck.
No.
Can he be arrested for...
You didn't cuff him for that?
No, I wasn't touching him.
So this was probably the weirdest thing you've seen so far?
That's probably the best. Yeah. That was awesome.
Although the movie's apparently entitled The Social Network, which is probably the worst title ever.
Yeah, that's a bad title if they're going to go like kind of like an up-and-coming story of the guys who made it. Yeah.
Although The Accidental Billionaire sounds like an 80s comedy with Danny DeVito and Bette Midler.
It's true. <Yeah. laughs>
Bette Midler. Can I just go on a side tangent about Bette Midler?
Please do.
The second time I ever did LSD, I think I was 14 years old, and I was too young to be doing it, and I do not endorse it, but I was high out of my mind, and I remember masturbating to Bette Midler on David Letterman, and I remember thinking to myself, I must be high as shit, because I've never thought Bette Midler was hot, but her tits look super sweet right now. And yeah, that's maybe way too personal to share with the world, but it's true. I masturbated to Bette Midler on Dave Letterman high on LSD.
Clearly, LSD is a powerful substance.
Amen.
Can that be the name of the movie?
Sure, it can.
This was like Beaches era, Bette Midler.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. It's not as bad as you think. She had her time.
She's chesty.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
Motherly.
All right, so next up, this is something else that I think Film Junk has become known for, which is Jay's vocal cords. Jay, why don't you tell us a little bit about your singing career and how you came to be where you are right now?
Well, professionally, I've been singing for... I haven't sung professionally, but I've had no training either, but you know, you every once in a while, if someone says, you know, it's been a long time, then it's,
just triggers something.
It triggers something. Or if someone says it's been a while, then it triggers something. There's just certain words.
Yeah, well, and I know a lot of people enjoy your occasional song outbursts, and, you know, Greg and I do as well.
Comes from within.
But
I got a question. How come when we used to go out as a staff to do karaoke and, you know, and Ray would get up and sing and I would get up and sing, but you never sang at karaoke?
Because I don't need to flaunt it, you know, I don't need to, and usually the songs that I would want to sing don't seem to be available.
I remember one time you had seriously debated picking a Christmas song and it was nowhere near Christmas.
Yeah.
And I was disappointed that you didn't go through with it. I mean, you know, I like to go up and bring down the house, mm-hmm. You know, but...
Do you want to sing any Christmas songs for us now, or
no? I don't.
Well, I think that's another respectable thing is that you've never been one to sing on demand, even when listeners have wrote in and asked for specific things.
It's only when someone is talking about something unrelated and it interrupts.
Yeah, and when you get bored of what they're talking about. Well. That being
just
said,
I like to light a little fire under you guys every once in a while. You know. Get things moving.
It can be inspiring.
So if I was to, you know, maybe once in a while, conveniently utter a phrase that was actually a song lyric, like I might be able to trick you into singing.
If you ever said I would die for you, then a little Prince might come out.
Yeah. What about I can dream about you? if I was to mention that
you never know.
Yeah, I have to, you know, remember. And when we see maybe Iron Man 2 in next summer, and mm-hmm. I can dream about, what's the redhead girl's name? I can't remember her name.
Scarlett Johansson.
Scarlett Johansson. And I could drop that, which would trigger little Dan Hartman inside you, and you might let it out.
Yep.
It's hit and miss, though. You never
know. That's true.
You never know what's going on in that head of Jay's.
And I got to say, though, I'm disappointed at the lack of Neil Diamond that you bust out. Because I know you like Neil, and you've sung Neil before outside of the show. I've heard you.
Yeah. But, well, I think Neil Diamond is less about the music and more about the spirit.
That's a good answer.
Fair enough. All right, so that being
said, this is going to be on the next clip show.
Yeah, we're going to try and compile some of Jay's greatest hits, some of his best song moments over the years. So take it away, Jay.
Baby on fire.
Is that a song?
My baby's on fire.
Did you just like that?
Baby on fire.
I could really see that working. Coming up on today's show, our review of Ghost Rider.
I'm the Ghost Rider, I'm riding my bike. Gonna live my life how I see it fit.
Does everything have to be a song to you?
Flames in my eyes, living a life for eternity. It's been a long time.
So one thing I gotta
from there to here, it's been a long road, but my time is finally here. I believe I'm being dead light now. I can touch the sky. Well, I'm not gonna hold me down no more. No, I'm not gonna change my mind, 'cause I got brave of the.
Every week, and I like to give an H&B story.
All right. What do you got for us?
We realize
we do. We need. I gotta have some theme music. Whose idea was that? Was that Henrik's idea?
I think so. Yeah.
I'm gonna have to get a good true song for you to put in there.
Sure.
Do you want me to sing a theme song for
you? No, please. Well, you know what?
Nobody cares, but he's gonna tell us anyway.
Is what would the theme song to Weekend at Bernie sound like?
He's a dead man, but he's still alive. He's Bernie. He's Bernie.
Thank you.
Meet me halfway. Across the sky. Give a new beginning over you and I.
Is that...
Every time you walk away, I can hear the words you say. Like a mountain, darling day, like a renegade. Take me higher!
So,
like desire! Over the top.
How the fuck do you remember that? How many times have you watched that movie or B, listened to the theme song?
You had the soundtrack, right?
I did, actually, yeah.
There was a soundtrack? Was it all by Frank Stallone?
No.
Wow. I don't know if I'm mortified or fucking impressed that you just did that. But, like, there's a scene earlier where they start up a vehicle and there's an Alice in Chains song, like,
yeah, here comes the rooster. Yeah. Who? Bad boys, what you do, what you gonna do when in the name they come for you? What you do, what you gonna do when it'll end up to you? Tell me
you're gonna go. No, that's not right.
Yeah. Fire, hearts on fire.
Wait, just give it a little lyrics here.
Leaving again to leaving gonna be. Training in Russia, gonna lift your friends on the wagon. Doing the push-ups that look hard to do. Using nature when the Russians using steroids. Hearts on fire, strong desire. Nature wins over man-made muscle.
That is a good movie.
It's basically just Chris Tucker and Jackie Chan singing in a taxi cab.
What song are they singing?
I don't know.
Born to be wild.
Is that what they're singing?
No.
No.
Throw this out to the audience.
I don't know much, but I know I love you. That may be all I need to know.
Okay, that wasn't bad. That was a pretty good Aaron Neville. End of the show. Hopefully. That's done. Pretty much it.
All right. So, film junk. One thing that, you know, I guess a lot of film criticism shows are always expected to have our sort of back and forth debates and arguments. And I think there's been some good arguments on the show over the years. I mean, we do agree on a lot of stuff, but I think the arguments stand out, and there are always, you know, some favorite moments out there from some of the discussions. You know, one that was brought up a few times was the argument between Jay and Corey on the Simpsons movie. So that was kind of a classic moment. And then of course, another one that was brought up in one of the, segment intros, fan created segment intros, was the magic debate between Jay and Greg.
Right.
Anything else stand out in your minds in terms of arguments that we've had on the show?
Well, I don't, you know what? I think most of the arguments occur when Reed is a part of the show.
Well, there's always an argument when Reed's on the show. That's,
I mean,
true.
Because most of the time, it doesn't become arguing when we, you know, I mean, I'm sure, you know, if I don't like a film that Jay likes, you know, he'll respond with, "You're an idiot." And then we kind of move on. But there hasn't really been a lot of actual
arguments that I can think of.
I think the review from My Kid Could Paint That was pretty good.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of documentaries seem to kind of divide us in weird ways.
And I don't even remember that. I don't think I like the movie. Is that right?
Well, I think we were talking about art in general and sort of... Well, I remember I was saying that I didn't think I could do what that little girl was doing, and you kind of, I think, took the stance that anyone could do it and that it was just kind of, you know, crappy, abstract mess sort
right.
of thing.
That's right.
But, yeah, so this next collection of clips will be some of the better arguments over the years. Let's see what we can dig up.
You know, I'd like to see The Simpsons leave Springfield, and that's all I get, you know?
Actually, that's a big problem with this show, is every time they do leave Springfield, it's like one of the worst episodes ever.
Okay, well, maybe, especially, you know, them leaving Springfield in a feature film might be a little more interesting. I would have liked to have seen a Who Framed Roger Rabbit mixing The Simpsons with live action.
See,
get some good comedians, Will Ferrell.
What it isn't instead of what it is.
Yeah, what it is shit. It's an extended episode that I paid $10
okay,
for.
Well, and hold on. Anybody who expected they were going to get more than what they do on the TV show was kidding themselves to begin with.
Why shouldn't I expect that?
Because the people who made the movie knew that that's exactly what it was. That's what the point of it was. Just like the people who like watching the show.
The point of it was to get your $10.
Yes.
This movie doesn't exist for anything other than laughs. It doesn't exist for the story, doesn't exist for character development, doesn't exist for anything. This is one movie I can comfortably say, if I didn't laugh in it, it failed. And I didn't laugh once.
Well, it's because for the last 10 years, you haven't liked The Simpsons.
For a reason.
Right. Well, then, obviously, going into this movie, you knew you weren't going to laugh anyway. It's the same thing with your Harry Potter argument. You don't give a shit about Harry Potter.
I heard.
So you knew you weren't going to like the movie.
I heard all of the writers were back. You know, everyone's saying, we're getting all the original writers back. This is going to be, you know, coming back to the original Simpsons. We're going to get a look at this, you know, the clever humor that made The Simpsons what it is. There was no clever humor. There's one thing here or there. The rest of it was animals, Homer whipping dogs, and like it wasn't funny.
So
I don't know.
Then that's all that these movies exist for, is to laugh.
Here's the thing though, like, okay, I don't understand
what more you want than that though. I mean, it's there to entertain people, and it's entertaining.
I'm not
a lot
asking
of
for anything more. I'm asking to laugh, and I didn't get it.
Well, you didn't
I'm saying
get it.
I'm exactly saying that that's all that I want is to laugh.
Okay.
Well,
and I didn't.
Well,
I'm glad you guys did. But
you're one of the only minorities then that didn't laugh at it.
Well, I know.
And I think it's because you went in. It's totally because you went in knowing you weren't going to like the movie. And you can say all you want.
It's not at all that.
Oh, that's crap.
Okay. I don't like The Simpsons anymore. What's that?
I probably walked in more cynical about.
Probably because you care if The Simpsons are desecrated on screen. I don't give a fuck. I don't watch The Simpsons
anymore.
And
that's why you didn't like the movie.
No, I didn't like the movie because I didn't laugh. And I don't watch The Simpsons because I don't laugh.
I think the whole idea of modern art and abstract art is fucking ludicrous. You know, it's like take a shit on a fucking canvas, smear it around, add some color, and some fucking idiot is going to spend $15,000 on it. Anybody who spent $25,000 or $30,000 on a fucking painting by a four-year-old is a fucking idiot. A fucking idiot. It's irresponsible and it's absurd that they would spend this amount of money on something that anybody can do. And the title of the movie is perfect. My kid could paint that. My kid could fucking shit on that.
Think of all the fucking idiots who paid $10,000 for an original Jackson Pollock now, eh?
Yeah. Whatever.
Worth like $20 million.
No, but
I think that's the thing. I think
the fact that
art aside, it's an investment for some people, and in this case, they may be getting swindled a little.
But why is a Jackson Pollock painting worth $20 million?
Because he was the first.
First what?
To do that.
To fucking smear shit on a canvas?
Yeah. Is it a good painting because it's a good painting, or is it a good painting because a four-year-old painted it? And obviously, a lot of these people think it's a good painting just because a four-year-old painted it. Then those, that's a total gimmick.
And those idiots shouldn't have spent $25,000 on a fucking piece of canvas that a four-year-old smeared paint on with her fucking fingers. It was obvious to me that the four-year-old kid painted all that shit because it all looked like the same bunch of crap anyway.
Well, okay, so, but you obviously are not a fan of modern art, abstract art whatsoever.
It has nothing to do with whether I'm a fan of that. I mean,
I think there is a big distinction to make there because, like, I'm not crazy into art, but I look at these and I think, you know what, that actually looks pretty cool. And, like, I couldn't do that, I don't think.
Sure you could.
I don't think I could.
I think this is comparative to rap music. I know a lot of people who write off rap music, one being Reed Farrington.
Right.
Because he's a racist. And he thinks anyone can do rap music. I watched David Blaine, a David Blaine DVD. I can't remember the exact title of it, but it's like a collection of his television specials.
I really dislike that guy.
How? How can you like dislike David Blaine?
I just his attitude and the way he talks. I just find him irritating. Here's the thing. Okay, let me finish this. I fucking hate magic. I hate it.
How can you hate magic?
I fucking hate it. Like the shit, you know, pulling the coin out from behind your ear.
Wait a minute. I
hate that shit.
Let me guess, though. You are a fan of Chris Angel.
No.
Okay.
You would love Chris Angel.
Probably.
I don't like Chris Angel. I watch one. I don't like magicians like fucking David Copperfield, fucking Doug Henning,
Even the same thing.
It's all
David Blaine.
Magic. You know what it is? It's just tricks. Who cares? Dude's not levitating. I don't fucking care. You know?
Well, if you're holding off for the one that really does levitate, you're going to be waiting a long fucking time.
I'm not waiting for that because I think it's stupid. You know, Penn and Teller is at least funny.
But it's not just the tricks. It's the showmanship. It's the how it's presented.
What if someone came into HMV and, you know, paid one of your employees to hide a nine of clubs in a shrink wrap Trues CD? And then they, like, 2 years later... Because, you know, the Trues CD will still be on the shelf 2 years from now.
Well, I'll probably have opened it by then.
They come in, and they're, like, doing a trick for you. And, you know, they're like, what was your card? And you're like, nine of clubs. Check the Trues CD. You open it, nine of clubs. Your mind would be blown.
The only problem with that story is that once that magician comes into my store, I'm fucking calling mall security and having his ass hauled out of there. That's why that wouldn't work. Magic is stupid.
And your child at heart is dead.
Yeah, he fucking died a long goddamn
time
ago.
You know what? I think, though, I think...
Because the magician raped my grandmother.
First off, Wanted is pretty much everything I hate about modern action movies. Like, it incorporates everything I hate about modern action movies and cranks it up by 20. Well, to the point where this could be, like... In terms of like scary movie, epic movie, this could be action movie. I mean, I didn't know what to take seriously. I know there's things throughout this film that are meant to be funny, meant to be over the top, meant to be so over the top that they're supposed to be funny. But there's things in this movie that I think are meant to be beautiful that I just couldn't help but laugh at. Like the very opening when the guy jumps through the glass. That shot's cool. You know, the mosaic of glass on his body. We see a wide angle, see him flying out of this sky rise in slow motion. Might I add, though, something we've seen a billion times before. And then suddenly, we cut back to him with, like, multiple angles of him going... and, like, shooting. And it was so ridiculous. And, well, like... Congratulations, you can use CG to make a guy fly out of a building in bullet time. I mean, I've seen this a million times. The first like 15 minutes, all of the office stuff, that to me played like a film student whose favorite movie is Fight Club. Well, and just the narration was brutal.
I gotta say, I love that stuff.
That was horrible.
I thought it was great. Like, I definitely...
It's horrible.
I actually really like the movie. There's two movies that you're obviously going to be reminded of right off the bat. One is Fight Club, and the other is The Matrix. That said, I did think that he kind of took things and, like you said, cranked it up like 20 times to the point where now, like, when I first saw The Matrix... And, you know, I think when most people saw The Matrix, it was kind of like opened a new door to action movies. And since then, we've seen it, you know, copied a million times. And I've always kind of thought, well, you know what? I don't know if there's going to be another action movie that's going to take things to a new level and actually do some new stuff. And for me, Wanted actually did that.
How? Because there was faster cuts?
There were so many images in this that were so over the top that they were... new
comedic
and exciting. Like, I don't know, like, there one thing towards the end, like the final fight when he's going into the hideout, that was awesome. Like, I at that point I was kind of thinking, okay, maybe this movie's winding down, I just want it to end. But then they just hit you with this crazy shootout at the end that, like, when he was had the gun through the guy's head and then he kept shooting while he was
seen
holding
that
the guy.
A million times before.
I haven't, and I thought it was awesome.
You see, I didn't give a shit about the characters at all. That's how uninterested
the movie
I was. Well,
then I don't understand how you would be that affected by a rape scene.
Because I don't like watching rape.
Either do I. But I do like watching movies. I am fine watching a girl who's probably getting paid $500,000 to $1 million to show her ass for 10 seconds. Whatever.
Well, but your point about the whole...
Well, you're a pretty cynical dude, so...
Oh, no, I'm just a fan of films.
You're a pretty cynical dude.
Well,
like,
one of the
most cynical people I've ever met.
All right.
And, like, nothing affects you at all.
Well,
I've noticed since I've known you.
I've walked out of a strip club before. If I was in Montreal with you at that strip club, I probably would have walked out. So it's just a matter of perspective. I mean, I can separate an actress in a film, you know, taking her clothes off for money, whatever. It's fake.
So, Wall Street Journal article, this guy thinks that The Dark Knight is kind of an allegory for the war on terror. Batman is President Bush because he's fighting against an enemy who is can't be reasoned with, and it's kind of unknown and things of that nature. You guys agree with this? Can you see the comparisons?
I guess. I don't know. I hate crap like this.
I have no idea.
Now, I mean, I don't personally believe that Christopher Nolan intentionally put that in there.
You can read anything into anything.
You can.
Seriously. I mean, this is the kind of crap that you go to a university pop culture course to listen to and dissect, and it is completely useless except at a dinner party to talk about. I mean, you know, it's not that I'm saying that, you know, it's not worth discussing within circles of people who love the movie, I guess, but I just don't care. I don't know. Well, you can draw comparisons and parallels like that to anything.
I agree with you. I do think stuff like this is useful for discussion in terms of, is there a reason why this movie works on more of a subconscious level? Like, you know, this is something that's been in the media, we're all aware of, and, you know, the fact that it touches on some of these things, maybe that's why it connects with people more. I don't know.
If that were the case, then people would have hated it, because his approval rating is so low, and the criticism towards his actions with the war in Iraq, I mean, if that were the case, people would not have liked the movie.
Well, maybe. I don't know. It's similar to Cloverfield, you know? Like, whether or not it was intentional that it felt like they were kind of in some ways referring to, you know, the whole World Trade Center thing.
Well, I think that's different, because there's literally visuals in the film that are, you know, you can't have a city that's attacked by terrorists and buildings actually collapsing, and then a monster movie made from it with a building collapsing and a plume of smoke coming down. I mean, you could say that about Independence Day as well, and that came out before the World Trade Center attack. I mean,
I don't know. It's academic bullshit.
Bullshit?
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
It is. I mean, it's the same thing with, I don't know, like, it's just for, it's for the sake of discussion. So, yeah, I mean, I'm sure you can see Bush in there. I'm sure you can see Bush in Iron Man as well. You could probably see Bush in
I saw Iron Man. There was no Bush. Positive.
I don't know. I mean,
I notice these things.
The argument he lays out makes a lot of sense for sure. But
I'm sure it makes sense. But I'm sure it could be.
I think you would have to work a little harder to get it
pasted right onto another movie, and it would make just as much sense.
I don't agree with that.
It reminds me of high school when we watched The Graduate, and my teacher was pointing out how in the bank or the hotel, the scene where he gets the hotel, that the woodwork is shaped like cocks.
It's a good point. You'd be surprised.
Like, I equate the looking for George W. Bush within Batman to looking for phallus imagery within films. I mean, everything's a fucking cock, man.
Except a vagina.
Yeah.
It's one or
if
the other.
If something goes in it, it's a vagina. If it goes in something, it's a cock. That's, you know, film 101.
All right. So the next thing we want to talk about on this 250th episode of Film Junk are some of the rants that we've had over the years. And, of course, being that it's sort of a personal podcast and, you know, it's all about opinions, I think we've all kind of had rants, not even necessarily movie-related rants. I mean, there have definitely been some, you know, Jay's rants about retail issues. Well, Greg's rants about retail issues as well. But anything come to mind on this topic at all for you guys? We did used to have a rant alert sound effect, which used
really?
To, yeah, we used to play that in the early episodes whenever someone went dangerously close to rant territory. But you know, a good rant's always fun, and
I always seem to black out. I don't really remember any.
That's yeah.
I don't remember ranting ever.
Well, I guess that's what this clip show is all about. So. Let's rediscover some of the best Film Junk rants right here. Long story short, Jay, you basically called a whole row full of teenagers a bunch of cocksuckers.
No. Fucking cocksuckers.
Asked for your $10 back, which you didn't actually spend, but, you know.
Well, what kind of effect would it be if it was like, well, I didn't pay to get in, but still...
Well, it's true. And I mean, how do you get through to them without affecting their wallet, their bottom line? Then they exactly. start to realize, wait a minute, this might affect me.
Here's the thing. Movie ended, everyone got up, and they started getting up, and no one was saying anything. I saw a whole row of people in front of them, as soon as the movie ended, turn and look at them and give them a dirty look. And obviously it was ruined for them. And obviously that pointed to the fact that it was those people who were doing the majority of the talking. And then, you know, you can...
Well, and you realize that they're not bigger than you, so you can, you know, then...
Honestly, it wouldn't have mattered, because that was fucking the worst.
Yeah, well, and it was pretty obvious that they were younger kids, too, because, I mean, they were just... I mean, the comments they were making were, you know, they were, like, giggling when people kissed on screen to the point where it's like, oh, my God, like, how old are these people? Like, but, yeah, so...
That was the worst I have lost it.
Well, I would
ever.
Say yeah.
Yeah, you lost it pretty
I mean,
good.
I've lost it like that before numerous times, but I've never seen you do that.
Well, listeners to the podcast will probably not be too surprised, but...
Like, it was worse than any rant that I've had on here, but in a whole theater of people watching.
Those kids were pretty scared, too, I think. Like, they...
Honestly, they were. There was one kid that looked at me, he's like, me? Like, what, me?
Well, that
I was like,
it,
you and all of you are fucking cocksuckers. You look at this movie,
And you think, what a ridiculous idea. You know, this guy is building an ark. All these animals are coming. They're going to go on this ark. He can't possibly fit every fucking species on the ark. And then I think, this is based off of something that some people believe actually happened.
Yes.
That is insane.
That's what this whole movie, and it's I don't want to get into an argument about the Bible. That's something.
It's insane.
I'm sure there's plenty of religious people who don't believe that actually happened, but you can't get away from
it. Yeah, but they believe that equally crazy shit did happen.
But nothing that that happened in this movie, if it actually happened, people were reacting the wrong way. And I realized there would be no movie if people acted how a regular person would act.
In some people's books, some people, you could put based on a true story on this movie.
Yes, you probably could.
No shit. You have to change some things to make a movie more entertaining. You could put based on a true story.
In Canada, we have two official languages, French and English. And there is a law that, you know, products sold need to have clearly, you know, both French and English translations of what the product is and a description of the product, all that. Which, you know, obviously that's understandable for certain things. I mean, if you're going to buy medicine or something, I mean, you want to know what you're getting. But with movies, to me, it seems a little different, especially because, you know, some of the titles don't even need to be translated. I mean, it could be somebody's name, but they'll still put a French and an English version of the title on there.
What is the big deal? I don't fucking get it.
Well, okay.
What's the problem?
Because it's ugly. Because it doesn't apply to.
Why? Because it's different? Us.
Well, it's not necessary.
Well, sure it is. We have two official languages.
It's not necessary to me.
Well, okay.
In many cases, it's not even necessary under the idea of having two official languages.
Right.
Like having, what was it, RV and VR being the French version.
Yeah.
And also, like, if it was a French movie and it came out in French language, I would be fine with it being in French or whatever language it was made in.
Right.
It's just...
It's an English movie.
Yeah.
It had an English title originally.
It's a piece of artwork.
I mean, I think it's a good point in the sense that in this day and age, like you mentioned, with digital downloads and stuff, the packaging suddenly becomes a little more important because you're paying for something physical. You want that packaging to look nice and be cool. And if it's not, then why are you buying it? I mean, as a collector...
But it's just a few extra words.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just don't see, like, the fact that there was like 30 responses to that thing, like, blew my mind. I couldn't figure it out why people care so much. It's just a couple of words.
And I'm sure there's lots of people who would agree with that too. But I'm curious to.
I just find it crazy that like all three of you are just like. Like,
I'm not that. I buy them anyways. I'm just saying it's stupid.
You're shitting yourself on the inside. I know you are. You're freaking out.
I don't care. It's just, for me, it's completely unnecessary. And everything that's released in this country should appeal to my needs and tastes.
Well, I mean, obviously there has to be a reason why.
It's ugly. Aesthetically ugly. It's unnecessary. It's another language on the packaging that doesn't need to be there.
Well, yes, it does need to be there.
It's a title that's in another language. Like, Ghostbusters should just be Ghostbusters.
Well, I mean, clearly...
It's in English, in French as well.
There's a reason why it's like that, you know? I mean, not...
Yeah, for the fucking people in Quebec that are nowhere near me, I don't give a fuck. They can have their French versions. Right. That's fine. I don't want the SOS Phantoms on my Ghostbusters.
Yeah, but it's a hell of... You know what it is? It's cheaper.
Why don't you just erase Ghostbusters and just release it as SOS Phantoms?
Because it's cheaper just to make one and then sell that one everywhere.
Exactly. So why go through the troubles of reprinting the fucking French on it if it's cheaper just to release one version that says Ghostbusters?
But in Canada,
put a sticker on it that says version Francais, which a lot of shit has, and you're done with it. Will someone look at the cover of Ghostbusters, see that fucking logo with a ghost and the red cross through it,
yes,
and be like, what is this? Je m'appelle Ghostbusters?
The other thing I saw, I don't want to talk about this because we're going to review it next week on the show, Paranormal Activity, but I did want to talk about my experience at the theater, because this was probably the worst experience I've had ever. And we've had some bad experiences with people talking and being disruptive and whatnot. But I don't know what it is about horror movies that have the potential to actually be scary that just people can't handle it. Like, you've got the tough guys who come in and they're like, whatever, this isn't scary. And they're like trying to laugh at stuff and they're trying to like not let it get to them. And then you've got like the girls who are like
sluts.
Some could call them that, who are basically, you know, nervously tittering, or kind of like talking and like, oh my God, did you see that? You know, and like giving commentary throughout the whole thing. We actually had somebody in the theater with a fucking laser pointer. Like, it's been years since that shit has happened, but somebody thought it would be funny to smuggle it into Paranormal Activity. And, you know, he wasn't using it the whole time, obviously, because somebody would have just figured out who he was. It was just like once or twice throughout the movie, just to be cool. And then on top of that, you know, some guy to the left of me had his cell phone out the entire movie. Like, it was glowing, like, the whole movie. It was right in my peripheral vision. So, like, when it gets dark in that movie, and, like, the way the movie works, there's, you know, daytime scenes, and then there's night scenes when most of the stuff happens. And every time that happened, I see this fucking glowing thing in the corner of my eye. And I told him, like, twice, and the girl behind him said twice, can you please turn off your phone? And he just sat there like a fucking douchebag and just ignored everyone. And it's like, at that point, what do you do? Like, you can go up to him, grab his phone, and smash it on the floor. Or you can go get someone from the theater and bring them back and say, this guy has his phone on. But at that point, you're, like, missing the movie.
You go to the people afterwards and demand your money back. Because they don't put ushers in the theaters. Because they're too fucking cheap to pay for it. So you go back and you say, everyone in that theater had to deal with this fucking asshole with his phone, these bitches talking through the whole thing, and these guys laughing. I want 5 free tickets for my friends that came, because you don't put anyone into the theater to make sure that everything's A-okay.
Yeah, I guess that's...
I want to see the movie again without these assholes.
That's fair compensation. But now here's the thing, though. Like, I wanted to see this movie with a fairly packed theater because, you know, it's the kind of movie that, if you have a good crowd, benefits from that. Like, I don't mind a little bit of nervous tittering. I mean, there's a sort of an energy you get from a crowd when they're really into it, when they're really on the edge of their seat. And I think that adds to the experience, but I just, something about scary movies and seriously, it's these macho guys who are like, I'm not scared of anything. And they just can't. They
Did someone actually say that?
No, but you know, there's things would happen. Like there's, you know, the classic thing that is becoming more and more common, which I hate, where there's like the very first tense moment, it's all quiet and some guy yells out, ah, and it's like, oh my God. Okay. So you just ruined that scene for me. Like, thanks a lot. And it's like people laugh and then that just eggs him on because he thinks he's being funny. So then he does it again, you know, and it's like that kind of shit. It's like, why are you even here? Like if you're not actually going to try and let yourself be scared, don't bother coming.
See, I never understood why people will go and pay for something and then not pay attention to it.
Because the guy's probably there with a girl,
right,
and he's hoping that she will, you know, stroke his cock off during the film.
Yeah, like that, like, seriously, though, that's what it's, a lot of these... A lot of
that
these,
was the lamest mind. Way to put that ever.
A lot of these guys, though,
it was the sensual way. Probably stroke his cock off.
But a lot of these guys are there with their girlfriend, and that's
yeah,
what it
and
is.
They can't handle the attention being brought off of them onto the screen. It's like everyone's watching this movie, no one's paying attention to me. I'm going to yell something so that everyone laughs. I'm serious, man. Just next time, punch at Walmart.
Yeah.
I swear, I've gone there. This is the thing. Every week, let's just on the topic of DVD releases, next generation, like high density releases.
Yeah.
You will never find them on the shelves.
No.
You go to Best Buy, And like the past 2 weeks, there's been like six releases that I've wanted. And every time I go, they're not on the shelf. Excuse me, could you help me find these? Oh, okay, let me just write these down. And then they run to the back for 20 minutes. And then they bring them out. It's like, these are new releases. Like, fair enough. Not too many people buy, you know, next gen DVDs. But some of them are new releases. And then I go to Walmart. I'm looking for the Twisted Terror. Did I say this already? Twisted Terror box set. And I see on their new release thing, they've got the singles out of the box. And I ask this stupid fucking woman who, she's like a mom, you know, a mom. Well, and I ask her, excuse me, did you guys get the Twisted Terror box set in? Twisted Terror? I don't think so. Let me check the release sheet. And then she goes to like, you know, the layout sheets where their new releases will be. And she starts looking at the TV sets. I'm like, it's not a TV show. It's not going to be in here. Well, if it's not in here, we don't have it. Well, you have the individual copies on the new release. Well, I haven't heard of it. And then the next week I go looking for RoboCop on Blu-ray. I say, did you guys get RoboCop in? RoboCop.
Was it the same woman?
Yeah. I don't think so. Let me check the new release sheet. And then she checks it. She goes up to the board with the new releases. I'm like, it's not going to be listed on the new release board, you know? It's not.
No.
And then she's like, no, I don't see it on the board. I haven't seen it. So, no, I no. But Walmart is full of idiots. They don't know anything about, like, no product knowledge.
But
I
this
swear.
Is Walmart. They have, this is a department store. You can't expect,
yeah, but the department,
knowledge of...
The department is the electronics. The people who work in that department are in charge of that little square in that store. All they have to know is what they're selling in that square. This isn't people who work in, like, the clothing department one day, and then they work in the, you know, toy department one day. I worked at Toys R Us. We had an electronics department. I worked in there, and it's just this little piece of the store. All you have to know is what's in that little section.
But, like, let's just say you're working at Toys R Us in the electronics department. Somebody comes up and they're like, do you have the new Dora the Explorer volume 5 this and this?
I and would you, be able to tell them.
But you would check the release sheet, and if it wasn't there, you'd be like, I don't know what that is. And
well,
like,
I wouldn't
no,
be like,
but...
Dora the Explorer.
Well, yeah.
What is that? I would take them to the Dora the Explorer section and say, well, here they are. If the one you need is in there, then I'd be happy to, you know, ring it through for you.
But the true hardcore Dora the Explorer fans would be sitting there going, man, these guys at Toys R Us don't know anything. They don't know their Dora the Explorer DVDs.
That's the thing, though. At Toys R Us, you have to know the Dora Explorer DVDs.
You know, the product knowledge is pretty key, you know.
It's important.
We at HMV may not have the best prices in the world.
Seriously.
But this we is, do know what things are.
This is the thing. HMV, I worked there, and the first day... I don't know very much about, say, classical or, you know, certain genres. I just don't know very much. And right away, you're going to get people asking, you know, for the new American Idol winners album. You have to know this. Like, it, and although it's not common knowledge to you, it might be to the customer. And it's not a huge store. You know, if you're working there... you know, like 5 days a week, you start to get to know what you have in that area. And these moms that are working at Walmart that just have fucking milk in their heads, no brains, it's just fucking milk, breast milk. All they do is they make kids, their brains are full of breast milk, and it just comes out their fucking tits.
What made you pick milk out of anything?
Seriously, it drives me nuts.
Then why do you continue to go to Walmart? Price?
Because I can't get it from anywhere else. If I go to HMV, I'm going to have to get raped in the fucking ass.
But we know where it is and we can get it for you.
Yeah, and that's the obnoxious thing. It's like everywhere, you know, the Twisted Terror set, couldn't find it anywhere. Tried Best Buy, tried Future Shop, tried Walmart, Twisted Terror. And then I go to the HMV and it's there. It's like $12 more expensive, and I buy it because I'm a fucking idiot.
No, you're not an idiot. You just you appreciate customer service. This past
so kind of drawing to the end of this clip show, and I thought the last segment should be just kind of a grab bag of miscellaneous stuff. And let's face it, I think one of the coolest things about the Film Junk podcast, one of the things I'm most proud of, is just the fact that we never really hold back in terms of
race.
Yes,
sexuality.
We don't hold back our racism and prejudice, but just in terms of unexpected things that happen, you know, like we just kind of let it ride. Whatever happens, as soon as we hit record, like I don't know if there's ever been a time that we've actually stopped an episode and restarted or re-recorded a section. It's always just been, as soon as that record button's on, there you go. And because of that, there's been some weird things that have happened, and you never know what you're going to get. So a little bit of Forrest Gump there for you. So I guess as we end off with this final collection of clips, any other parting thoughts on 250 episodes of Film Junk?
Was there a top three most requested clip list? Like, or I mean,
not really. Yeah. You know, we did the first section would have been the greatest hits.
Oh, which okay, would be, right. I get it.
You know, the Greg watching the wrong movie, the yes. Jay going thinking to the doctor. He has rectal cancer, and Jay's driving test is
right.
also another those popular one.
Those are very popular.
So, but yeah, I mean, I think everybody kind of relates to different moments and seems to find different things funny. So, yeah. I do think the show runs a little long sometimes, but apparently people like that. So there's another reason why you never know what you're going
to
get.
A lot of people, you know, listen to it on their commute to work or listen to it instead of actually doing their job or.
Yeah.
So.
But it is cool to think that, you know, people are going out into the world with our voices in their ears as they go about their daily jobs. And it's kind of a cool feeling.
Yeah, I mean, what else is there to life, you know?
No. Nope.
I mean, Albert Einstein defined the meaning of life as to spend close time with friends and family you love.
I don't think that's accurate. That is not accurate.
What better way than to record a podcast so that all of the close friends and families can listen to it wherever they go, whenever they want? And, you know, we can just hope for another 250.
I think that was Fat Albert, not Albert Einstein.
It could be.
So, any regrets, any disappointments with the Film Junk podcast? Or are you glad that you've put in this much time into a podcast that, you know, has a fair amount of listeners, but is a far cry from, oh, let's say, the Howard Stern show?
Honestly, I think that doing the podcast it definitely helps your communication skills.
Strangely enough, I agree with you.
Like when you're like in some sort of meeting or something, or mm-hmm. and you have to explain something, or especially if it's a creative sort of thing, doing this show for this long has helped me sort of, you know, do that.
Except for those moments when you forget the words.
Right.
Why can't I think?
But it's a good mental exercise to every week try and tell stories off the top of your head, or do reviews off the top of your head, or because I mean you have a computer in front of you, but you rarely use it, and we don't prepare anything. We just talk about things. That's why I don't know the names of any actors. And
yeah, and I mean, I wouldn't want to be sitting here scripting things. I mean,
we don't take notes during our movie watching. It's the furthest from any of that you could possibly get.
Do you think it's about time that you told all of our listeners, Jay, that every movie that you ever reviewed has been a lie and you actually haven't watched any movies?
I don't watch films.
No, you don't.
it's definitely a lot of imagination.
Mm-hmm.
You've done well. I'm impressed.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess we just want to thank everyone for listening to 250 episodes, or maybe 100 of those 250 episodes. And
but we should use this episode as the gateway drug for new listeners. Like, we should ask everyone who's listening to this that have friends that might be interested to take this episode and pass that along and get them to start listening to the show regularly.
Yeah.
This should be the calling card.
That's kind of what I'm hoping that this will end up being, is just sort of a quick way for people. If you want to see what this show is about, you know, minus the movie discussion, this is Film Junk in a nutshell. So, yeah. So, you know, if you guys are out there and you enjoyed this, let us know, you know, and be sure to visit the website, filmjunk.com, and email us, filmjunk@gmail.com. We love to hear from everyone out there who's listening, and really, it's all for you guys. So, thanks for 250 episodes, and enjoy this final collection of weird and wacky random clips. I know everybody's anxiously awaiting the winner of the Mission Impossible 3 DVD contest, and we do have a winner. The winner is Lance,
who had that guy.
He had a very epic dialogue for us.
Name sounds made up, but whatever.
You know, some people really are named Lance, apparently. Yeah, so we actually recorded this last night, the dialogue to go with it, the sound effects and just everything. So
now you have to keep in mind, this isn't a representation of Transformers the cartoon. This is a representation of what will be Michael Bay's Transformers the movie.
So, in other words, reality.
Yes, this is
realistic.
This is the darker Transformers.
Yes,
with the modern edge.
So, well, with that in mind, let's take a listen. This is the winning entry for the contest. Hope you like it.
I'm getting sick of them damn intro space galactors.
I know, but what the fuck am I supposed to do? You know I lost my legs in the last expedition.
Damn it, Prime, this isn't fucking Autobot City. We need your support.
But I can't. I just feel so weak.
Weak? Weak? Weak, remember when you used to care? Huh? Do you?
I still care.
Like hell you do. We need you to call on the power of Unicron. Call on him now!
Damn, that feels good.
Gotron!
Where's my damn bowling gun?
Yes! Or die!
Why, Ironhide, I've never left. Even in my absence, I am still with you. My RAM will always reside in you. My RAM will always reside in you.
Okay, so we've got a call here. you guys want to do some psychic readings?
Yep. All right.
Jay's going to channel the codeine, and we'll come up with one. Hello, are you there? You're on the air with Film Junk.
Hello, how are you?
Great, how are you?
I'm good. I'm not sure. I think I may have the wrong telecast.
Oh, no, you don't. This is for the readings?
Yes, you do psychic readings?
Yep.
You're joking. Are you?
No,
okay,
well, you can shoot, and we'll see what we can do for you.
Give me a psychic reading then, general.
Okay, what do you do for a career?
I teach.
You teach?
What grade?
Preschool.
Preschool.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a smaller class, right? Smaller people in the class?
Yes.
I see many things coming to me. Probably you're currently not teaching. Are you currently off for the summer?
No.
You're not off for the summer?
No.
Are you still teaching right now?
Yes.
You're gonna want to look into that, because you should really have the summer off. Most teachers have summers off. That's number one. Number two, will you be going back in September teaching full classes?
Yes.
Okay. What is that with? That's with preschool still, right?
Yes.
You're gonna have a good year, I'll tell you that much. You're going to get a whole set of new kids. They're going to be great. They're going to look up to you. And they're going to think you're the greatest. And you're going to show them what to do with themselves, how to act in public, what to do, what not to do. And it's going to be a good year. I can tell you that much.
Is there any other, like, advice, like, specific areas you were looking for, or?
No. No.
You know what? Just keep doing what you're doing. You love your job. Your parents love that you love your job. And you know what? Just show those kids what's right. You keep doing what's right, and everything will turn out all right in the end. And you know, you just keep doing what you're doing. Keep on trucking with the kids. Okay?
Okay.
Have a good one.
Thanks for thanks for calling.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Did you see the latest Harry Potter film?
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Okay. Well, that was interesting.
That was good.
That is what they call a cold reading. The War Game is a short that he did about what it would be like in Britain if a nuclear attack happened. So it's black and white, and it's not so much shot as a fake documentary, but rather it's almost like it is a documentary, but it's made up of reenactments. Like, throughout the movie, there's a narration that says, this is what it would be like if this happened, and then they'd show this recreation kind of thing. So it gets into, like, really heavy details of what happens when that sort of mass evacuation takes place, and how...
A mass evacuation?
Yeah.
It's just funny. It's just funny, that's all.
Like gas or something? This, out of all of us, this guy is funny.
I thought you would catch on to what you're saying was funny, but
it's a documentary about a mass evacuation.
So I got a clip from Wally. Let's take a listen. It's a great one. Trust me. Thumbs up the movie right there.
Oh, God. That movie is hilarious when you just listen to it.
Yeah.
And I don't like Ed McGuinness's art. I think it's too bulky. Everybody's got way too many muscles, and their heads look so strange. And
you can see all of their balls.
I never noticed that, but... We can throw that in there to the criticism.
Are you not a fan of muscles on men, then?
Well, I guess it all depends on what type of muscle we're talking about here. All
right.
The penis isn't a muscle.
Then, no, I'm not a fan.
No, I just don't like his particular art style. I don't really enjoy it.
Is that why people don't eat the penis? Because when people eat meat, they're eating the muscle, right? Is that what you eat?
Not necessarily. The muscle is kind of the chewy stuff, isn't it?
Oh, right. You're just eating... Flesh. What are you eating then?
Flesh.
Really?
Yeah.
Like a steak is not muscle?
I don't believe so. I've never been a butcher.
You can pull that much meat off of something and have it not be muscle?
I guess.
Yes.
But
that's weird.
But I don't know if I agree, because I think people do eat the penis. There's a diner scene where Jeffrey Jones is starting to like change, and like he's possessed by the Dark Overlord.
Is Jeffrey Jones the one that got caught with the child porn?
Yep.
Child art.
Yes, child art. but he's pretty creepy in this movie. Before we found out that he was into child porn. And
that is probably the funniest / most offensive thing I think you've ever said. That was pretty good, though. Well said.
Oh, yeah. I'm curious, Stinge. You saw Titanic, but what was it about Titanic that made you want to see it? Were you dragged there by your girlfriend or something? Or?
Well, when did that movie come out?
When was that? 97,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, it was a while ago.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was even earlier.
Well, I guess Jay left his mic on. That's fantastic.
People wondering what they're hearing right now, Jay was wearing a wireless mic on this week's episode.
Answer. Oh.
Don't forget to tap.
It's pretty amazing right there. Only on the Film Junk podcast you get this kind of stuff.
You think it's possible this is going to unseat me watching the wrong movie as the best moment ever?
Could be.
I hope so.
Much.
I love you. Oh, now he's just hamming it up.
That may be all that I need.
Oh, God. That is good. And for Greg, who isn't here, but I'll be sure to tell him next week, Sean's pronunciation of manga was correct. I've lived in Japan for 18 years now and have never heard it pronounced the way you did on the podcast. You guys are the best.
Manga?
Manga.
I can respond to Greg's as Greg.
What? Okay. No, wait,
what are you, fucking idiot?
Wait.
I'm going to punch you in the larynx. I don't give a shit.
Greg, how do you pronounce it?
Manga. You fucking idiot.
Hello, Film Junk. I have a couple of questions I want to ask you. First of all, Greg, how can you be a Canadiens fan when you live in Toronto? I mean, you're like all these fucking assholes that live down here in the Philly area that root for the Penguins or the Steelers. You're a traitor, man. You root for your home team. Jay, I love you. You are the man. I worship you. Your reviews are always spot on. And you're a miserable son of a bitch. I like that. If I was gay, I would give you oral. Sean, you're a good moderator. You keep things moving along. And you're good at reading email. Now, I've been listening for about the last 20 shows. And being from the lower 48, I have one question I've been dying to ask. What is poutine? Have a good day.
You homos.
That was...
You're good at reading email.
That was well done.
That's what I bring to the table.
All right.
I have another thing for that, but I don't know if it'll be online. Tonight on Jeopardy, it was the teen Jeopardy.
Yeah.
And one of the categories was balls. And it's like everyone left it to the last, and then finally she like balls for 200.
That's pretty good. They must have known what their audience was going to be, so.
Yeah, but the funniest awesome. Was that was when the one girl was like, 1,200 balls. But the other thing I watched.
Oh, I sure hope that's online somewhere.
I recorded it on my PVR.
You better put it on YouTube because you're gonna
have. How do I get it off there?
I don't know. Oh, I don't know if you can.
I might have to videotape it off the TV.
Yeah, you might have to do that.
Balls.
Yeah, for me, I just kind of felt like this food is here. It seems like somebody's going to come back for it. And that was kind of the tension of them being there the whole time.
But
so.
that tension only arose when they heard
something. I was thinking it the whole time.
You were wrong. You're just a pussy because that's what you would think. You'd be like, while we're all chowing down, you'd be sitting at the door saying, But what if someone comes back?
Exactly, because there's some
more nasally voice when.
But what if someone comes back?
Hey man, if whatever it takes to survive,
that would be. What if someone comes back?
maybe. So yeah, I think.
Then Greg would be like, "What? No one's coming back. Don't be stupid."
That's true.
Then Reed would be like, what?
We should probably come up with a script for us in a post-apocalyptic Earth, how we would survive.
Well, even before the apocalypse happens, I would just take out Reed. So. Yeah.
And eat him.
Because you know no one
would... love Chinese food.
But yeah, you guys were missed, you know? You know, I had to go to the movies by myself.
Yes, and on top of that, you had to see Paul Blart Mall Cop.
No, I didn't have to see it. I wanted to see it.
All right, well, we'll see if...
Blart. I mean, it's worth it right there. Blart.
We'll see if it was
like
worth
it's like a word for a blood fart.
I've never had one of those, but I guess so.
Wait, I haven't either.
I thought everyone's had a blood fart.
Didn't your friend Chin have a blood fart?
Probably.
This show's going downhill.
Didn't he blart once?
See?
Yes.
It was worth the price of admission. It was free, but, you know.
Yeah.
Blart.
Oh.
Hi, how are you? Hello?
Hello.
How are you?
Okay.
I was in earlier today. I was looking for a movie, and someone was helping me, and I couldn't think of the title at the time, but I thought of it now. Okay. I was wondering if you could check it on your system.
Sure, what's the movie?
It's starring Jodie Foster. It's called, I think it's called Salad Days. Salad as in a green, like a green salad. It's from, I think it's from the 80s. I'm pretty sure it's Salad Days.
You know what? It doesn't look like the movie is available. We can get a soundtrack, but I don't think it's on DVD.
It's Jay.
Yeah, I don't even have a listing for it on DVD, but I do have the soundtrack.
It's Jay, Greg.
Oh, for fuck's sake. I want to know what love is. I want you to show me. I want to feel what love is. I know you can show me.
Je m'appelle Ghostbusters?
What is this?
Ghostbusters?
Je m'appelle Ghostbusters?